Welcome to the first week of our brand new message series that we're calling Let's Go. Let's go, let's go. That was what you just heard on the trailer. That phrase was popularized by one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady. Before every game, Brady would let out a primal scream on the field to pump up his team about the game ahead. Now, I know what you're thinking. Father Roger, you don't know anything about sports. You've told us that over and over again. Why on earth are you using a sports analogy? It's true, I know. I get mixed up between innings and quarters, home runs and touchdowns, wide receivers and outfielders. I get it all mixed up. But I do understand teams and how teams can work together for success. And this series that we're about to start on today is going to get us motivated to accomplish great things for God as a team together. And most of us, I think, long for our lives to matter, don't we? We want to contribute something to the wider world, and we hope that the people who know us are better off because we've been in their lives. In our hearts, I think we all know that it's not the duration of our lives that really matters. It's the donation of our lives, how much we're willing to give. I think that's why we're moved by stories of people who have sacrificed their time or their own interests in order to make a difference. When we hear stories of people who have served the good of others, we lean in and pay attention. I'll bet that if you were to think of someone you really admire, well, actually, I'll just ask you to do that now. Think of someone, one person in your life that you really admire. And it doesn't have to be me, okay? I know that's tempting, but it could be anybody, okay? Someone you really admire. And I'll bet that your respect and your appreciation for that person probably comes from their generosity, probably comes from their willingness to give of themselves for the betterment of others. The stories of people like that move us because we want to be like them. At the end of our lives, I think we all hope that we will have made a lasting, positive impact on this planet for the short time that we have been here. But most of us, I don't think, can make that kind of impact alone and on our own. In order to make that kind of impact, we need to be part of a team. And Jesus knew that too. You know, Easter Sunday and the entire Easter season that stretches out over 50 days celebrates the life of this man, Jesus, a man who has had the greatest impact for good and who has inspired the most good in the history of the world. It's outstanding when you actually think about it. His life mattered so much that today over 2 billion people worship and honor him every Sunday, even though he lived over 2,000 years ago in a dusty, remote corner of the Roman Empire and lived largely in obscurity for most or all of his life. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, is loved by so many people today because he spent his life going around doing good. He did good through his preaching and teaching. He did good by bringing understanding, clarity, and light to people who were confused and lost. He did good by helping people, often undervalued people, recognize their value. And people who were treated as worthless, he helped them to see their worth. He inspired people to live up to a better version of themselves. Jesus did good by healing people who were suffering and neglected. He made the deaf to hear, the blind see, and the lame walk. He freed people who were misunderstood and marginalized in their fear and anxiety. Jesus not only went about doing good, he went about being good. There was a compelling goodness to Jesus. People who were merely selfish and self-centered, people who were not accomplishing much for anybody, were drawn to Jesus. People who were nothing like him liked Jesus, because they found in him acceptance and kindness and compassion. And as they grew in their friendship with him, as they grew in their relationship with Jesus, their lives began to change. Everyone who met him and allowed his goodness to influence and shape them experienced profound life change. That's the man Jesus. But this one man's impact on the world also continued long after he had left this world. And it continues even today for one big reason, I think. Jesus assembled a team. He brought together a team of people to carry on his good work. And he trained that team. He spoke to his team a lot about what they should do. In particular, he talked to them about service. He taught them about service. For example, he told them, "I came not to be served, but to serve." He said, "Give, and it will be given to you." He told his disciples, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and the servant of all. And the greatest among you shall be your servant." He modeled humble service for them when he knelt down at the Last Supper and washed the feet of his team members and then told them to go out and do the same. He was raising a team to carry on his good work. And it worked. One particular book of the Bible called The Acts of the Apostles tells the story of the incredible impact this team was able to make and still makes on the world today in Jesus' name. This book, Acts, and by the way, if you've never read it cover to cover, I strongly recommend it for the Easter season. Just take a chapter a night. It's only like 28 chapters, and it's a fascinating read about all the things that happened to the early disciples. It tells the story of how the early church experienced tremendous growth because Jesus' friends and followers continued to do good after he was raised from the dead and returned to heaven. And as you read through Acts, you can feel the incredible momentum, especially in the early chapters, this momentum that was experienced by the Jesus movement. But then, in chapter 6, the passage that we heard today, this movement hits a roadblock, and it's a big one. It's a roadblock that illustrates how God's good work can only be accomplished through a team effort. Here's what happened. The number of disciples continued to grow and grow and grow. And so the Hellenists complain. Well, who are the Hellenists? They are the Greek-speaking Christians, Greek-speaking people who had become Christians. And they started to complain because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. What does that mean? Well, in those days, it was the local church that provided food and financial help to the poor and the most vulnerable in the community. And widows were definitely among the poorest and the most vulnerable. But as the church grew, it experienced growing pains. The need became so great. Some of the widows from the Greek-speaking part of the church were not getting their fair share for whatever reason. And so the apostles realized something needs to be done. We have to do something about this. And so they gathered the community and they said, "Look, it's not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve at table." That phrase, to serve at table, meant collecting donations for food and then distributing that food to the people who needed it, like the widows. But the apostles realized that as the need in the community was getting bigger and bigger, because the community was getting bigger and bigger, they realized they couldn't handle everything themselves. They just couldn't do it all. Their primary obligation was to preach the word of God, and that consumed all of their time. And so it was obvious that they needed to expand the team. And so they asked others in the community to step up and serve. Here's what they said: "Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable people," men, back then it was men, but anyway, "people, filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, and we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." So, members of the community chose 7 people who they could count on who would make good decisions, and who would help lead one of the most important ministries in the church at that time. The community then presented those candidates to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them, and look what happened. Look what happened. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples increased greatly. That roadblock was removed. More people, even people you would not expect to convert to Christianity, did. People like Jewish priests began to believe in Jesus and follow him, all because the church invited its members to start serving others, just as Jesus had commanded. Jesus also spoke about how others would come to believe in him because of the way his disciples would serve and help people. In the gospel passage today, for instance, Jesus speaks to his apostles. They're at the Last Supper. Everybody's worried because they know that Jesus is something bad is going to happen to him tomorrow, the next day. So the apostles are frightened, and Jesus wants to reassure them and strengthen their faith. And he says to them, "Believe me, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. We're one, right? We're one." What he was saying is that you've seen me, you know me, you therefore know the Father. You know God. And he says that all the words that he spoke were given to him by the Father. And all the good works that he did, all the miracles and the healings and the teaching, all those good works he did were performed by the Father who lives in him. And then he tells them, look at this. He says, or else believe because of the works themselves. Jesus knew that even people who struggle to believe in him would eventually come to believe because of the good works done by him and by his disciples in his name. Jesus' words promise that the church will grow the more its members become humble servants of others. And that story in the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading, it shows us what will happen when members of the church decide to start giving their time and energy to volunteer and serve. It creates a spiritual momentum that invites others into the life of the church. There's a parish I heard about that was in significant decline, like a lot of Catholic parishes, not ours. Attendance was dropping like a rock. Donations were drying up. People were becoming more and more disengaged. The leaders of the parish tried everything they could think of, including finding a new pastor. But none of it worked until one of the members of the parish council, the advisory body to the pastor, one of those members was a data scientist. He loved to study data, and so he dug into the church database. He looked at all the information about all the members of the parish, what they were giving, what they were doing for the parish, things like that. And what he found surprised other members of the council. What he found was that the biggest factor that predicted Sunday mass attendance, the biggest factor that predicted financial contributions and other indicators of genuine engagement with the parish was how often and to what degree those members served in a ministry of the parish. The people engaged in service were far more likely to attend Mass, to give of their time, talent, and treasure, and get more involved in the life of the parish in other ways. So the church changed its message. Instead of begging people to come to Mass every Sunday, they started begging people to help serve, do little tiny jobs, just a little thing at their convenience, when they could do it and how they could do it. And you know what? It changed everything. People started getting up out of the pews. People started doing little things to help the parish. And the parish grew. People came more regularly, they donated more generously, they attended more church events. What that turnaround demonstrates is that deep down, none of us really wants to merely be a consumer. We feel happiest and most fulfilled when we produce, when we serve, when we contribute. And the byproduct, the good of that for the church, is that it produces healthy, growing church communities. Our health, our growth at St. Hilary also is intimately connected to the number of our members, the number of you that get up out of the pews and start serving on our team. Many of you already generously give of your time and your talent. You help this parish, and I want you to know how grateful I am for that. You might say that I am the quarterback of Team St. Hilary, to use an analogy I don't fully understand. But no quarterback, I know this much, no quarterback can win the game alone. Our impact as a parish will only continue to grow as more members continue to serve and give their time and energy to serve. So, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to sign up to serve in our church if you haven't already. We'll have an opportunity for you to do that in a few weeks. On May 21st, we're going to have a great event over in Tarantino Hall with wonderful food and an opportunity for you to learn about all the possibilities here in the parish for you to serve. But for now, all I ask you to do for this week is to go home and visit our website. Just take 5 minutes, go to the Next Steps page and the volunteer page, and look at all the opportunities to serve, and then pray about it. Ask God to lead you. I know you are busy. I know many activities are calling for your time. I know that there are many worthy organizations that are looking for you to help. But the promise of Christianity, the hope of Easter, is that we really can achieve the significance we all so greatly desire and yearn for, precisely by going out to bring the goodness of Jesus Christ to others, no matter your stage or state in life. God wants to work through you to go and bring his love and goodness to the world, because he wants you to have the life of significance you need and you want. 2,000 years ago, if you were looking at the world, you would have thought that the little band of Jesus' followers would have died out and the Roman Empire would still be with us. But here we are in 2023, and the church is still here, and the Roman Empire is ancient history. 2,000 years from now, there will be no NFL, sorry. There will be no Apple or Google, sorry, or Facebook or Instagram or any of the companies in the Fortune 500, I suspect. They will be ancient history as well. But 2,000 years from now, if the earth still exists, there will be a church. Jesus established his church, and it will not end. I guarantee you that. So when you invest your time in the church, you invest your time in eternity. You ensure your life is one of significance and meaning, and you choose to belong to the winningest team ever, a team you can never be cut from, God's team. So come on, everybody. Let's go.